This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker. Is brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. It is that time of the week. It is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And as always, we are talking parenting. If you've only just joined me on my show for the first time today, I want to help you out a little bit so that you know that this show has been going now already for quite some time. I think it's going on a year. I don't know. Maybe Craig could give me a thumbs up. I don't know. but it's been going for a while. That just means I'm not trying to brag at all. Maybe I am. But I actually want to just share with you that the library of content that we have available on our website on different various topics on parenting is so vast now. It's really helpful. So please do go check out all of our podcasts on highfm.com, where you can listen from before birth to after birth to older children. We've got lots of different topics on parenting. And of course, I want you to let me know if there is a topic that I missed that you would like to talk about. Then, yes, share it with me. You can send me an email on Yolandi. It's Yolandi with a J at goodnightbaby.co.za. Or you can send it to Kathy at highfm.com. I'm sure she'll forward me the email. Later, maybe I'll get into trouble because I'm sharing her email and not my own. Today, I am talking about, of course, breastfeeding. If you haven't noticed, I'm pretty sure if you have a child, you must have noticed that it's World Breastfeeding Week, or the end of it today. My guest today also celebrating her birthday today. she probably thought I didn't know because I haven't said happy birthday to her. It is Natasha Willefier, and she is one of those very rare breeds of dietitian and lactation consultants. And I mean, it sounds really, oh, lactation. It's very impressive. I'm very sorry. That's very impressive to be a dietitian and a lactation consultant. And we are going to be talking, of course, about breastfeeding and promoting a little bit World Breastfeeding Week, as we should be. Breast milk is actually, as we all know, a fantastic thing. And I wanted to just share some facts with you as we go into it. So first of all, I wanted to share breast milk composition changes over time. So as your baby changes and grows and becomes bigger, of course, your breast milk is going to evolve because they will need different nutrients as they're growing. Breast milk is not a static substance. And this is the very fancy sentence I'm reading. Breast milk is not a static substance, it's dynamic and changes to meet the evolving needs of the growing infant. That's a beautiful English sentence I just made there. But it's really wonderful to see how it changes, because I know as well from a sleep perspective, initially in the newborn stages, your baby actually doesn't have the mechanisms to sleep on their own. So they don't have melatonin yet. They don't have sleep cycles or a circadian rhythm yet. They need melatonin to have a circadian rhythm. But anyway, that's a different story. But that's why it's so great, especially in those first months, to breastfeed, because your breast milk actually contains hormones to help them to sleep. So it's really beneficial for sleep as well, not for many other things as well, but also for sleep to breastfeed. Breastfeeding also aids in maternal health. We know the benefits and so many studies. I mean, there's lots of health benefits when it comes for mom and baby when it comes to breastfeeding. Breast milk actually contains over 200 beneficial compounds. That's insane. That's really, I mean, I knew there was a lot of nutrients in it, but over 200? Sure, you can't. I mean, that's, what kind of meal can you have with 200 compounds? That's essential nutrients and stuff. Breastfeeding also boosts cognitive development. Studies have now shown that breastfeeding is linked to enhanced cognitive development in children. So that's just some things why we want to promote breastfeeding. But like I mentioned earlier, registered dietitian and lactation consultant Natasha Willefier. Hello, Natasha. Thank you for joining me again today.
Thank you for having me again. I love chatting to you.
I'm glad. Maybe that's why you come. So first of all, happy birthday again.
Thank you.
So let's see, what is World Breastfeeding Week about?
So it was actually started in 1992, and the main aim was to, or is still, to raise awareness about breastfeeding and to promote breastfeeding as such. So it's a global event. It takes place across the world in the first week of August every year. And since 2016, they've actually also aligned the themes to the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. So to make sure that we're actually building on the same goals globally, which I think is really quite cool.
Yeah. And I mean, in general, obviously, I love breastfeeding and promoting breastfeeding. But it is also it's not always easy to breastfeed. And I think for me, that's also a very important part of breastfeeding. It's not just about we want you to breastfeed. We want you to know that there's support out there for breastfeeding. Yes. And that there's help out there for breastfeeding, and that you know that if you're it's normal to struggle with breastfeeding.
There's a lot of people who do struggle, yes.
Yeah, but I mean, that's what it's about. So we're not here to say breast is best and you only have to. Obviously, we want you to breastfeed. But in the end of the day, we want you to know that if you're struggling, it's normal, and those type of things as well. So I think
there is support, like you said.
Yeah,
there is support.
And that there's support for it and those type of things. But what's the theme for this year's breastfeeding?
The theme, I love it, and it's so in line with what we spoke about already. The theme this year is closing the gap and enabling breastfeeding support for all. And we're going to have a bit of a look at how we can do that, because it's not just someone coming in like a lactation consultant and helping. No. There's so much more to breastfeeding support for all. So the focus is really on the survival, health, and well-being to improve the breastfeeding support out there. And also, breastfeeding is one of those rare things that can actually improve equality across societies, because it's not something you need a lot of money for or you need a lot of expertise for, etc. It's something everyone can do. And it has, as you mentioned, so many benefits. So the more we can talk about that and the more we can support that, that is one way in which we can equalize the chances of all children across the globe. And then also getting back to the theme, this is really breastfeeding support in so many different ways. It's the waitress at your local restaurant that allows, or the restaurant in the first place, that allows breastfeeding in public, because in South Africa, we're lucky enough that breastfeeding in public is allowed everywhere. But the waitress that can support you, or that can bring you your stuff, or cut up your meal so that you can eat in the meantime, it's the health worker that helps you. It's the policies that our government makes to support breastfeeding in the workplace, for that matter. Mm. So there's really a lot that goes into that.
I'm looking forward to talk about that, because it is also, and I mean, just also, I again saw this, but maybe it's also because it's breastfeeding, World Breastfeeding Week, that I've been seeing a lot of those, you know, like people who frown upon public feeding. And I mean, to be honest, I was the mom on the plane that permanently basically had a child attached to my breast while I was on the plane, because they needed to soothe, and that was their soothing, and it's the only way to do it.
So
I'm like really for, and I'm also the mom who then helps moms on the plane now that I don't breastfeed in for, don't have a 12-year-old there. But I'm also that mom that then just, you know, and sometimes it's not even doing anything. Sometimes it's just, you know, giving them a nod and saying,
well done.
Well done.
You're doing it.
We're all okay. It's fine. And, you know, and that's okay. And maybe that's also what it's about. And like you say, it's for all. And we wanted to be closing the gap of breastfeeding, because often when we say breastfeeding support, we think, oh, I'm going to have to get a lactation consultant. And the reality is not everyone can afford a lactation consultant.
True. So true.
Also, and I mean, that's not even the other thing, is that if you're in a remote location,
the access,
so there's lots of different things that is when we're talking about closing the gap, it's not just the monetary gap. There is also other things that can inhibit support. But like you said, support is a lot more than just getting someone to show you how to breastfeed.
To do it. Exactly.
And I mean, these days also, I think I saw a kid, I think it's breastfeeding. It must be that. It's only sinking in. You can clearly see that I know it's happening, but it's not 100% sinking into my head that I've seen all these videos. And again, I also saw a lactation consultant showing how to hold a baby and things like that. So I think the information out there is also so readily available to latch and how you can hold your baby, the different the 50 different holds you can have
at
while
least.
Breastfeeding. Very, very interesting.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker. Is brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
Yes, if you've just joined me, you are on 101.9 Chai FM, and this is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And as always, like I mentioned earlier, talking parenting. And today we are celebrating the end of World Breastfeeding Week. And a nice thing to celebrate. And my guest today is expert dietitian and certified lactation consultant, Natasha Olivier, talking about breastfeeding and what we want the message to be. And we mentioned before we went to the ad break that the theme for this year is closing the gap. And we were talking a little bit about the support as well when it comes to breastfeeding and the various support things, that it's not always, when we say support, it's not just about the lactation consultant to come help you, or even the clinic sister, or yes, anything. I mean, that's also a common thing. I think poor clinic sisters, I think they're like,
they have so many questions that they
psychologists, dietitians. I really, a shout out to all of you. Thanks for that. But what is some of the things, like, especially, I mean, we're also talking about the gap now. It's not just we're talking monetary gap, but also sometimes you're in the middle of nowhere. But how can moms and moms-to-be, what can they do to support themselves?
I think the biggest thing is you can learn as much about breastfeeding beforehand as you can. Mm-hmm. A lot of us, and I know that includes me back in the day, we spend a lot of money on antenatal courses and learning everything that we can to make sure that we have this perfect birth and that everything goes according to plan. And then the baby's there and we haven't actually learned anything from the journey.
I've said that many times on this show. So I can't even take it back anyway, because people know that I had a baby. It was like, oh crap, I was learning so much about pregnancy.
Exactly.
Yeah. So now what can we do then so we can first of all learn what's the kind of things that we want to learn beforehand about breastfeeding?
Learn as much as you can. Read up about anything and everything that you can learn about breastfeeding, because there might be things like, what if you have your baby and they don't want to latch? You're sitting in a hospital bed. I saw a mom this morning and it's challenging. Your baby just doesn't want to do what it's supposed to do. And in that case, you can learn about hand expressing, how to get that milk out into a syringe, how to give it to baby via a syringe. You can continue practicing that deep latch, because if they only sit on the tip of your nipple, it's painful and they don't transfer much. What if your baby falls asleep on the breast? Very, very often they just latch on and then they go for a beautiful sleep. What do you do? How do you try waking them? You can tickle them. You can blow on them, gently blow on their face. My favorite one is feed them skin to skin. So don't huddle them up too warm. We all know what we do if it's nice and warm and we lie in bed. We go to sleep. We don't do anything else. So get them undressed, get them skin to skin, get them close to you. And then also one of my favorite tools is to start doing breast compressions. So it's almost like hand expressing, but you're literally massaging your breast to help that flow of milk to start, so that once they're actually on, they can get that flow of milk and they can start then understanding what's happening. Because what I also always explain to my moms is a baby needs to learn to breastfeed. You need to learn how to breastfeed, and somewhere you need to bring those two together and get that working. And it's not an instant thing. It's not like a Lego brick that you just click into one another and off we go. Yeah. It takes a lot of practice. Now, the common concern that we hear is painful breasts and nipples. And that is probably one of the worst pains that you can experience. And this is just to say it shouldn't be painful. You can maybe feel a bit of stretching of your nipple initially, but it shouldn't be painful. So if it is painful, seek for help. Make sure that your baby opens their mouth wide, that you get that nice and deep latch on. And then another question we get very often is, what if I don't have milk, if I simply can't do it? Breast milk in the early days is known as colostrum. It's extremely, extremely concentrated, and very often you don't see it because your baby takes in such small amounts. But because it's so concentrated, that is okay. Mm. So just keep on going. Keep on putting them on the breast, getting that deep latch, helping them with breast compressions. And remember that that is almost like their first vaccination. So you don't want to be adding all other kinds of things into the mix. You really want to focus on breastfeeding and getting that breastfeeding right. And if it still doesn't work and your baby's tired or not latching, you can always do hand expression for a while, catch that in a syringe, and then give that to baby and continue practicing that breastfeeding.
And I think that was already such a nice, like, variety of things that you've mentioned just now, because I think that is already a good way to go into breastfeeding and to support yourself. Because for me also, your you're seriously going to be overwhelmed when you're in the when you've just had a baby. And sometimes you rely, and I think sometimes we rely too heavily on the people around us. And then yes. your journey with breastfeeding, with other things, the choices that you think you have choices in becomes something that just happens to you.
Yes.
Because definitely. You rely so much on the expertise around you. And to be honest, most of the time, I don't want to scare you, because most of the time you are going to have experts around you and great nurses. But unfortunately, I've heard stories
that
one nurse that comes out and then, I don't know, gives formula to a baby in the hospital or encourages you, doesn't do it, but encourages you. She's like, you know, maybe it's too much of a struggle. Just so that you know what kind of is the normal when it's happening, and that you know that colostrum is concentrated. It's not going to flow out of you
exactly.
like immediately, because that's also you think that's really something that you think initially, is that you're thinking, oh, these people are telling me that you need nipple pads.
Yes.
And then it doesn't happen like that, that you're it's just like that, especially if you had a cesarean. Sometimes it's also a little
it
bit delayed.
Yes, it
the
is
breastfeeding.
So, and it's one of the big things is everyone thinks breastfeeding is natural, which it is, but it doesn't mean it doesn't take practice or it comes easily.
Yeah.
You need a bit of support and a bit of practice. So if you know what could go wrong and you're prepared for that, it just throws you off less.
I mean, it's for me really like, you know, like CPR and stuff like that. The chances of you having to use it is very unlikely, but you are going to respond so much
better,
calmer
if
you have a little bit of like knowledge in the back of your head. And
definitely.
This is exactly it. You're just maybe going to respond so much more calmer.
Use your resources. There's so much to look at in terms of, like you said, the positioning, the latching, all those things online. Use those resources. Watch it before you give birth, because
before.
Then you still have the time. Watch it before.
Great. But what are some other ways partners can then also support? That's also, it becomes so much about the mom and I mean, enjoy that also. Oh, the attention.
That's amazing.
When you're pregnant, enjoy that. It's really, you feel so great because you're glowing, you're creating life, you've got the superpower, because you do. So enjoy that. But it's really much about the mom. But then the partner sometimes does go into the background. But how can the partner then help with the breastfeeding?
The most important thing is to keep open communication going. Discuss your goals. Discuss why this is your goal, how you want to make it work, and how you see this whole thing rolling out, so that you have a lot of those discussions beforehand and you're on the same page. You're moving in the same direction, and you don't have the mom saying, I want to breastfeed, and the father saying, you know what, a bottle is so much easier.
Awesome. So the other way around.
Where
the dad's like, you have to breastfeed,
exactly.
and the mom doesn't have the whatever.
Maybe doesn't even want to. That is still your choice. So discuss the plans. And then also, once baby is here, support your wife.
Mm.
Make sure she has snacks. Make sure she has a water bottle close by. Make sure she has pillows and she's comfortable. Bring her cell phone charger if her battery is dying. Give her that bit of love. And then a question we get very often is, how can dad bond with baby if he's not feeding the baby? And there, I just want to add, there are so, so many ways in which dad can bond with that little one. Because yes, of course, it's your baby as well. So use the opportunities where you can bond with your baby. Help with the burping. I don't know, but I always say it in my practice. Somehow dads just have a way of burping a baby so much more easily than a mom. A mom can sit there and struggle forever. Dad picks baby up and they burp. So use your superpower. Burp your baby. Have a bath. Give them a bath. Have a bath with them. Change their nappy. Do skin to skin with them. There's so many things that you can do to bond that don't have to involve feeding or a bottle. And then also a very important one that's very close to my heart is to realize that your relationship is going to change. For me personally, my first daughter was the biggest change that I've ever experienced in my whole life. And it's important to remember that that's going to affect your relationship, affect your husband or your partner differently to the way that it affects you. So again, keep your communication open. Remember that your wife is going to go through a lot of hormonal changes. They may bring emotions with them. You may be experiencing some emotions and other challenges. So make sure that during this time you adjust, adapt, and that you grow together rather than growing apart.
Oh, I love that. And I mean, look at that. We're like celebrating more than just breastfeeding. Yeah. I feel like it's
celebrating family.
Yes. See, and this is what this show is all about parenting and supporting each other. And I mean, that's the HiFM community is so beautiful in supporting each other as well. So I do think this... kind of the ethos of what we're doing. I love it. Some blessing and gratitude in my heart. If you've just joined me, you are on 101.9 High FM, and this is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. If you've only just joined me, I've been speaking to a registered dietitian and certified lactation consultant, Natasha Willefield, about what breastfeeding or World Breastfeeding Week is all about, and how we can close the gap of supporting and getting support when it comes to breastfeeding, because sometimes the journey of breastfeeding, and we've mentioned lots of different things already, is not, it can be isolating, and you can maybe like stop breastfeeding thinking it was a choice, but maybe it was just circumstances that kind of force you in a certain direction. And if you have knowledge beforehand, it's going to help you to know what is normal, what is not normal. And if you have a support system during, I think it can make such a huge difference. And we already mentioned things that you can, how you can support yourself and how your partner can support you. Of course, if you've missed it thus far, you can go listen to it as a podcast on highfm.com. This and all of my shows. All of the shows on High FM, or podcasts on highfm.com that you can go listen to. Of course, as always, if you have any questions and you want to be part of the conversation, you can send us a telegram on, it's now a WhatsApp on 061-895-1019. Or, you can just send us that's easy. WhatsApp. I want to say you want to SMS us, but I mean, just send us a WhatsApp. It's easy like that. If you don't have our app yet, why don't you? If you're a supporter of High FM, you should get the app, because it's easy to go listen to the podcast there and to listen live to High FM. So go download the app. Very easy, and also easy to communicate with us through the app. So we're talking here again, like I said, with Natasha Willefield. Natasha, we've now talked about ourselves, how we can support ourselves, how our partners can support us. What about family members and friends? How can they support us? If you are, because now I don't really, I'm not going to breastfeed anymore. How can I support other breastfeeding parents?
One of the big things that I really want to advocate for is share your experiences, because it feels like everyone keeps their, especially their negative experiences, down in a little black hole. Nobody ever talks about how hard parenting is, how hard breastfeeding might have been, how your emotions were all over the place. So talk about those first few days, weeks, months, so that the new mom doesn't feel like she's the only one experiencing this and everyone else manages to do it. And it's gotten so, so much worse with social media in our life, because, I mean, if you open any app, everything looks perfect. Baby and mom are beautifully dressed. They've had enough sleep. Everything just works. Everyone is happy. And back at home, that's not what, well, not what's happening, but nobody talks about that part. So share your experiences, share your hardships with especially the new moms. They need to know that it's normal to not just have good days and great days all of the time.
Yeah, but I mean, it really is. It's sometimes because we're always talking about how amazing breastfeeding is. Yes. And how wonderful it is. And it is. Honestly, it does help with good hormones. And there's but just like anything else, nothing in life makes you 100% happy. And sometimes, especially after you do it 5 times a night, it feels like work.
It most certainly does.
And you're not going to be no bonding 2 a.m. in the morning.
No.
Maybe
no.
At 4 a.m. you might feel a little lonely.
Feel lonely. You're exhausted. Baby's crying again. So be real about those moments. Share it. Be honest. Be that shoulder to cry on. Listen to what the new mom is struggling with. And,
this time of the year, I really, if you're breastfeeding, a shout out to you, because it's cold.
It's cold, and those cold little hands up your back are not that great in the middle of the night.
It's like I can just feel that little hand here on my chest.
Oh, and
it's like,
yes, freezing and you cringe.
Little alien hand. There's, oh, it's very cold.
No, definitely.
Yes. So,
and then also one of my favorite ones is hold the mom and not the baby. Everyone comes to see the new baby and to visit the new baby and to hold the new baby. And behind the scenes, there's a new mom learning to be a mom herself. So hold the mom and not the baby. Come visit and support the new mom. Instead of wanting to hold the baby, go make some tea. Bring dinner. Make dinner for the family, especially if there's older kids involved that need to be looked after as well. Fold the laundry. Unpack the dishwasher. Do a bit of grocery shopping. if mom wants to take a shower or needs some time, yes, by all means, help holding the baby. But don't come there to visit the baby and to hold the baby. Remember that there's a new mom that is developing or learning to live as well. And remember to support her.
No, I mean, for me also, you are allowed to hold the baby. You're also moms. I do have to say, I really did love it when people were like, oh, your baby's so cute.
Oh, no, that's amazing. That's amazing.
I did like that part of it.
Definitely. You want to swoon about your baby as well.
Yes. So what is some of the things when we now talk, because we're talking various people now that can support and us as friends and family, how we can support. But what is the role of the healthcare provider when it comes to supporting a breastfeeding mom?
So, so much. And there are so many amazing healthcare providers that can help with this. You mentioned the nurses, there are GPs, there are doctors, gynees, pediatricians, etc. that get involved. I think the important thing is to support within your scope of practice and to then also refer out if it's not within your scope. I'm a dietitian. I love supporting on everything breastfeeding, nutrition, etc. But there's a lot of things that are outside of my scope of practice. And for that, I've built a network that I refer my moms to say, you know what, this isn't my highlight, but I can send you to someone else. So know that there's a lot of different people that can help you. And then know who your support team are. It's similar to your friend group. You've got the one that is amazing at organizing. You've got the one that's amazing at last minute arrangements. You've got the one that you can go to if you have a need a shoulder to cry on. Do the same for your healthcare professionals. You have your pediatrician, your GP, your gynae that you go to with health concerns. You have your nurse that you go to with for weigh-ins and for all of that advice. You have a physio if your baby needs a bit of body work, etc. Go to the right people. Find the right people because everyone out there is trying to give you support. So find the people that you trust and that you know are on your team and then ask for help. Yeah. There are amazing nurses in hospital that can help you get that latch right at 2 o'clock in the morning if nothing works. Find the right GPs, pediatricians, etc. that when you come there with a sick baby, they look at you too and they realize you are also actually not feeling that great. So find that support team that is going to hold you, support you, and get you through all of it. And then also very importantly, check your medical aid. If you are on a medical aid, check your medical aid and see what is available. Have they got a lactation benefit that they cover? Have they got pumps that they might contribute toward, etc.? So make sure that you know those things and use them.
Yeah. And I mean, on that note as well, and probably we'll talk about that with Anne as well from Diskim, is that these days also I feel you get so many like nice apps and things that you can download. And Diskim has a new baby app as part of their Diskim app that you can also, that provides online support also for lactation consulting and various baby problems that you can experience. So it really is, and I mean, there is really so many great healthcare providers out there. And also on that note as well is like, if you feel uncomfortable with someone, because remember you're here with someone that is helping you. And if there's something that is not a great fit, there's no need to force it.
No.
I mean, I wouldn't say now every chop and change every week.
No, that's not
what I'm mentioning. But if you're continuously feeling that it's just not happening, you are allowed to change and go to someone that you are more comfortable with. Because in the end of the day, you are going to be a lot more open and willing for input from someone else if you're comfortable with them.
Definitely. And ask questions.
Yes.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker. Is brought to you with compliments of Diskem Baby City.
And just like that, we are again running out of time. It's always like, it really is true, time flies when you're having fun. If you've just joined me, you are on 101.9 High FM, and this is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker, and we are talking parenting and specifically celebrating World Breastfeeding Week that's ending actually today, and talking about the various ways that we can support ourselves, our partners, our friends, our family, all those that are going to go on this breastfeeding journey. So I'm hoping that it's helped you so far. If you know someone who's going to be breastfeeding, or if you're going to be breastfeeding, or if you are breastfeeding, I hope this has already helped you a little bit in that regard. And also just to be conscious of the fact that it is not always easy. I think just that awareness already brings grace within us for other people. So that we're a little bit more tolerant when a baby is a little bit fussy, or if a mom is breastfeeding in public, it is actually okay to do that.
Totally.
She is just feeding her child, and it is allowed to do that. But on the note of supporting, if you've just joined me, I am actually talking to a lactation consultant and dietitian, Natasha Willefield, and we were saying the different ways of supporting. But now, one last thing on that note is, and I can remember when I was working full-time in an office, I mean, now I work from home, so it's relatively easy. It's not a common occurrence with regards to if you're breastfeeding that there is support. You have a right, actually, to a facility to do it. But what role does the workplace and the employer, what can they play in supporting breastfeeding mothers?
I think, again, it's very important to be proactive and to have those discussions with your employer, preferably even before you go on maternity leave, so that you know where you might be able to express the times that you can express, and that you can maybe even discuss things like starting half day or partially working from home or those kind of things initially. Like Yolanda already mentioned, the Basic Conditions of Employment Act actually includes a code of good practice, which recommends that breastfeeding mothers be given 2 30-minute breaks in addition to a lunch break until your child is 6 months old, just to give you that bit of time and to find that time and support. The workplace should give you a private space to express, and please make sure this should not be a bathroom or a toilet, but somewhere where you can sit privately. And I know sometimes this is difficult, especially if you have a sales job or a marketing job and you're on the road a lot. You might need to think a bit about, how am I going to do this? How am I going to pump in the car, etc. Then you need cold storage to make sure that your expressed milk remains cold. So if there is a fridge at the office, check if you can use that. You should be able to use it. Just put your stuff into a bag, etc. Nobody will know what's going on. But if there isn't something available or you're on the road, use a cooler bag with those freezer bricks in, etc. And then set up a plan beforehand so that you know when you're planning on pumping, how much milk you need beforehand, because you do not need 50,000 liters in your freezer just to get through. So make sure that you have reasonable expectations and you have that plan, and make that plan a little bit ahead of time as well. Mm-hmm. Don't think about it the night before you go back, because you are setting yourself up for a lot of stress.
And I mean, I really think that is an important thing. And also to know, like you said, you do have a right to be able to take the time to do that. And I mean, sometimes it feels, I mean, again, I'm now not just talking to the mom who has to breastfeed. I am also talking to the actual employer out there. You should, if you see one of your employees are pregnant, maybe it should be also from your side, if you're the HR person at your office, to think a little bit about that person. Because, I mean, I also don't think it's a secret when someone goes, you can first of all see for quite some time that they're pregnant. And obviously they will come to you as the HR manager or whatever to tell you that they're going on maternity. What's the whole thing with, what do you call it? I can't even remember the
expressing
word.
Expressing it.
And all those. But you can actually, what do you call it, then have this discussion also from your side. Or if someone comes to you, that you're a little bit open-minded about how you can create it. Because I feel also that sometimes then it's like this office, or you can use the meeting room.
Or where everyone can walk in.
Where anyone can walk in. And even also, I mean, these days there's so much open planners, and
exactly,
all these things have glass and whatever, or it's frosted glass, but I mean, in the end,
you can still see what's going on.
Or you can hear what's going on, and you're like sitting there and it's like, bzz, bzz, bzz. And I mean, that's also something maybe just from an employer perspective, to just consider those things of that it's not just about creating a space for it, but that we create a comfortable space where moms can do, and that they shouldn't feel shamed or anything, because you're going to, the chances of you doing it is going to be significantly less if you're like sitting there, because you can't be stressed when you're expressing.
No, that completely counteracts it.
Yeah. And then you're going to really struggle to, or not want to do it. But on that other note as well, I do have to say, if you are planning to express, I would say that it is worthwhile already while you're pregnant to start saving money towards a proper pump.
Definitely. That makes a huge difference. Really does.
Because it had such a stupid pump that I honestly never expressed, because it was just, because now if I look at the pumps available and the things like that, then I'm like, that's probably why I didn't properly express, because I didn't have the right pump available.
And find out about it, because there's so many pumps on the market that really just aren't that efficient or that aren't that great for you. They're not the right fit for you. So yes, again, think about that, plan it, read up about it, and make sure that you know what you're getting yourself into. Don't get the first one that you can get in any store.
No, and I mean, really do research about it. So planning a little bit about it. And if you also decide that you maybe not want to express when you go back to work, that's also your choice of what you want to do. But like you said, also inquire, ask about having flexible working hours. Maybe you can go back home to actually breastfeed your child if you want to. And remember that it is also possible to you don't have to feed your baby someone has to feed, obviously, your baby. But I'm just saying that you can actually have it where you're giving either express milk or formula milk, or you can breastfeed still as well. So meaning you can have one milk before you go to work in the morning and maybe two feeds at the end of the day. One just as you're coming back and one before bedtime. There's various options, because people – also, sometimes I feel lots of parents think it's an either-or decision.
It's all or nothing, yes.
Yeah. You either breastfeed
or you don't.
Or you don't.
Yes.
And the reality is that you can actually be flexible. Just remember with breastfeeding, if you are going to be lessening it, do it gradually. Don't do it abruptly, because that will affect your production. But on that note as well, just also a little bit, normally when parents go back to work as well, around 4 months of baby's age, I feel, and I mean, this is just a kind of experience share that I was told I'm supposed to do that, is also that sometimes around about that time is when your production actually normalizes. And then it's not that oversupply anymore. And then moms often think,
concerned.
Oh, I'm going back to work. And now my milk has dried up.
And
it's just actually the breast normalizing.
Getting into the rhythm of things. Yes.
Great.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker. Is brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
And just like that, another show has come to an end. And I really hope, Natasha, that we've closed the gap.
I hope so. He's contributed towards it.
Yes. Of giving some ideas of the various things of how we can support and be supported through breastfeeding. But before you go, Natasha, please, can you just share with people where they can find you, where you are, because you also have some helpful things on social media that people can follow.
Yes. So you can find me on Instagram or on Facebook at Lactation Diet. That is probably the easiest. All of my contact details, etc., are also up there. If you need to send me a WhatsApp or give me feedback in that regard, you are welcome to reach me on 072-606-4320. And if you need a lactation consultant in your area, go have a look at SA Certified Lactation Consultants on Google, and you'll find someone that is close to you that will also be able to help you.
Well, and I mean, it is important that it's like, again, like remaining within your scope, get the people, the right people, because unfortunately, there are people who claim that they know about breastfeeding and then they don't. I think everyone has good intentions when it comes
Definitely.
To that, but in the end of the day, it makes a huge difference if you've got the right people. But again, also remember that Dis-Chem Baby Cities do have clinic nurses as well that are qualified to assist. And again, they for sure will refer you to the right people in the area. So if you're looking for a lactation consultant in your area, I can assure you Dis-Chem will be able to guide you in the right direction as always. If you've missed my show today, don't despair. Don't worry, because it's available as a podcast later today on hifm.com, where you can go listen to the various ways of how you can support or be supported people in breastfeeding or women in breastfeeding. Obviously, it's not just people, it's women in breastfeeding. That's clear. So for us, celebrating World Breastfeeding Week, it was a wonderful week to celebrate. And like I said, I was inundated with things and I didn't realize why. Now I understand why I was seeing all these breastfeeding things. And go out there again and be graceful and kind to those around you that are breastfeeding. And remember that it is sometimes difficult for moms to be able to do it. But we need to revel and be beautiful about this thing because it is making a better society. Definitely. We've learned their cognitive development, the jobs to make smarter kids. So I encourage that we create a smarter society. I feel that that's a very noble cause to be celebrating. Next week, I'm actually now at the end of winter. Can you believe that? I am going to be talking up to Dr. Marietta Kombrink, who is a pediatrician, and we're going to be talking about common baby illnesses, when you need to panic, when you don't need to panic, what you can do initially at home, what you can later do. So please join me next week as I talk to her. It's always nice to talk about to a pediatrician as well, because I think we can quickly panic as parents. I've told you lots of stories about my panicky life, but more on that then next week. The world is better when we are kind. So let's be kind and be an example of kindness for our children. Until next week, enjoy your week.